بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. On this day, the first day of Shaban, we begin by Allah's leave the discussion entitled شرح كتاب الصيام من بلوغ المرام, the explanation of the book of fasting from بلوغ المرام. And بلوغ المرام is by Al-Hafidh bin Hajar rahimahullah, collection of narrations relating to ahkam, to rulings. And the sharh is that the explanation by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. كتاب الصيام, كتاب. The scholars rahimahumullah, in their collection of works, sometimes they say kitab, and sometimes they say bab, and sometimes they say faslun. Al-kitab is for category, lil-jins, and al-bab is for type or kind, and the bab is section. And the fasl, the chapter, is to cover the masail, the cases and issues pertaining to the subject matter. So when they say, for example, kitab al-tahara, the book of purification, this is a category. Then they say bab al-wudu, section on wudu, ablution, this is for the kind. And then they say faslun, chapter fi shurut al-wudu, chapter concerning conditions of wudu. This chapter concerning conditions, this is to cover cases and issues. This is at large. This is what is often. And sometimes they may use other means of classification, but this is the general and most common one. Now, as-siyam is masdar, infinitive. Saam, yasumu, siyam. Linguistically or lexically, it means al-imsak. It means refraining. And from that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning Maryam alayha salam, Mary, Maryam alayha salam, in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 26, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated concerning her, فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. So, if you see any human being, say, verily I have vowed a fast unto the most beneficent. What is this fast? Allah explained it by saying, فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. So I shall not speak to any human being this day. This fasting here tells us the lexical meaning, and it means al-imsak, refraining, withholding from. In some common languages or common traditions, people say al-ardu, the earth, samat, quote unquote fasted, alal bidr, fasted the seeds, on the seeds. Meaning, if we put the seeds in the earth to produce, but it does not grow, they say the earth fasted, meaning withheld. as to the meaning of fasting in the Sharia, it means at-ta'abbudu lillah, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most Mighty and Most Magnificent, bil-imsaki عن المفطرات من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. It means worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal by refraining from all that which will break the fast from the time of dawn until sunset. This is the legal meaning in shara', في الشريعة. So as you notice, this refraining must be a refraining of worship to Allah, not a self-fulfillment or self-desire or self-inclination, nor it should be just a mere habit. You see the definition now? Because some define fasting as refraining from all that which break the fast from dawn till sunset. But one must say, however, the term at-ta'abbud, worshipping of Allah, in every worship that you intend to define. So for example, in wudu, don't define wudu as washing specific parts, but rather say worshipping Allah by washing specific parts. You understand the difference? Similarly, as-salah, don't define it as known sayings and actions opened or commenced by takbir and ending by taslim. Rather say it is worshipping Allah through a worship involving known sayings and actions commencing with takbir and ending with taslim. This is the definition and the correct definition of salah. And there is no need to say in the definition with the intention. No, because every ibadah, every worship must have an intention. So therefore one should notice this. Many of those from the fuqaha, rahimahumullah, who define certain acts of worship, they don't mention the term at-ta'abbud, worshipping for Allah. And therefore, accordingly, the worship becomes like a linguistic, or stays like a linguistic definition. Now, fasting is unanimously a fard, an obligation. And it is one of the pillars of Islam. It is the fourth pillar. It was obligated in the second year after Hijrah, also unanimously, by consensus. And when it was first obligated, it was on the choice, meaning the person is given the choice in the beginning between fasting or ransoming, compensating, to feed for every day a miskin if he doesn't want to fast. Then the fasting became mandatory in the sense that no one is to have a choice in not performing it, except those whom Allah Azza wa Jal had excluded. So therefore, in this case, in the first stage, there was a choice between Siyam and Fidya. In the second stage, there was Siyam and only Siyam with the legal exceptions as will be stated. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted 9 Ramadanat, plural of Ramadan, 9 months of Ramadans, also by consensus. So we have now 3 matters of consensus here. Fasting, obligated in the second year, and also the Prophet ﷺ fasted 9 Ramadans. Clear so far? As to its obligation in the Quran, قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah 2, 183, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Oh, you believe, observing a psalm, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become pious. In the next verse, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Observing fasting for a fixed number of days, but if anyone of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can't fast, but with difficulty, example the old man, they have a choice either to fast or to feed a miskin, poor person, for every day. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him, and that you fast, it is better for you if only you know. Then the next verse, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites, meaning the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must observe fast. He must. You see, now there is no choice. He must that month fast that month, and whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not observe fasts must be made up from the other days. Second thing to know, the siyam, the fasting, is not specific to this ummah. Rather, it is general to this and to the other nations. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Or you believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. Had it not been a magnificent act of worship, it would have not been obligated on all nations. Anyone who denies the obligation of fasting, then he disbelieves. And anyone who abandons fasting by way of negligence and laziness, yet attesting to its obligation, then he is on a grave path. And one of the reports from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah is that anyone who abandons any of the pillars from the pillars of Islam disbelieves. However, the correct opinion is that this is limited only to Salah, because of the hadith of Abdullah bin Shaqiq, when he related that the companions did not see anything being abandoned from the actions as kufr, an act of kufr, except Salah. What is the wisdom behind obligating the fasting the month of Ramadan? One should know that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all the perfect wisdom in that which He creates and in that which He legislates. He is the all-wise in His creating and in His legislation. He did not create the slaves for no purpose, and He did not keep them neglected. He is high above all imperfection, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for a purpose, and a great one, and prepared them for that, and showed them the right path, and legislated to them the legislations through which their faith increases, and perfecting their purpose of existence. There's no act of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated to His slaves except for a profound and magnificent wisdom known to those who know of it, and unknown to those who don't.